Good afternoon and welcome. Welcome indeed to hour number two of the Mark Moses Show. And yes, it is NFL Draft Week. It's finally here. This guy does a great job. 24/7, 365 for Draft Countdown. He's my good friend, Brian Bosarge. Brian, how you doing today?
Mark, doing good. Glad to hear you're in better health from the last time we chatted. So good to hear you again.
I appreciate that. Are you, I'm trying to think of the word here, are you excited? Are you relieved? How do you look at this? Because you've been hyping this draft here for about 6 or 7 months.
It's relief. It's anxiety. It's everything basically all at once. Like, you build up to this, and then this time on Sunday, it's pretty much over, and you're like, okay, now what? You know, okay, I guess we move on to 2025 now. And, you know, it's a never ending like cycle for us, you know, in the draft world, so to speak. But no, you want to see all the work that you put in over the year, and you want to see how it bears out, you know, in reality.
Don't worry. I like your Freudian slip there. You're thinking Saturday, Sunday. I still miss Saturday and Sunday for the draft. How about you, buddy?
I got to tell you, you know, when it first changed over to the 3-night format, I was like, oh, this sucks. But, you know, now I kind of like it, Mark. I'm going to be honest. I take vacation days from work and I just get a long weekend out of it. It's nice.
You're absolutely right. We're here with Brian Bosarge, Draft Countdown. I think we all know this, but I want to just say it a couple days out. Is this a quarterback heavy type draft when you go into Thursday?
Boy, NFL Network and ESPN is sure glad it is. That's for sure, right? Because the ratings are going to be through the roof on Thursday night with all the quarterbacks that are going to be talked about at the top. I mean, with number one is a done deal. There's no intrigue there, right? Your Chicago Bears, Caleb Williams, your new quarterback. I know you're excited about it. The intrigue starts at number two, where I think it's going to be Jaden Daniels to the Commanders at two, but there's a lot of, you know, late speculation on Drake May. I still think it's going to be Daniels. And then it's, where does Drake May, where does J.J. McCarthy go? Do they both go in the top five? That's one of the big things to watch for Thursday night.
It feels like the top 10 picks in round one, they might all be offense. What? And look, I could be wrong, but what does that say about the NFL where quarterback, wide receiver, everything is about offensive weapons? What are your thoughts then?
I'm looking at my rough draft of my final mock draft right now. I've got it pulled up, and I have one defensive player in the top 10, and depending on if Atlanta stays in, I think they're going to draft a defensive player, but if they trade out, you could be seeing all 10 top 10 players be on offense.
I don't know if we've ever had that before. I know that's a lot of research to do, but it's kind of shocking. My question for you is, overall, you have all these quarterbacks, but is it still a crapshoot where most of them, just looking at history, most of them might be bad in the NFL?
I would say to you and anybody listening to go, a few weeks ago I wrote a piece on Draft Countdown about how we just don't hit on quarterbacks. I mean, it's in the last decade, it's something like 14 of 31 are still with the same team that drafted them.
That is wild.
In the last 10 years.
Yeah.
It's wild. So, I went into detail on why we may, just as evaluators and NFL teams, mess this up and what are some of the cause and effects. But it is 100%, it's a crapshoot. It's literally almost a coin flip. Well, on maybe even worse than a coin flip odds at this point on whether you're going to hit on your quarterback.
Well, Brian, you saw earlier today where Zach Wilson got traded to the Broncos. What was it, a six-round pick? You look at that draft with all those quarterbacks taken. Was that a bad draft for quarterbacks then, in hindsight, a couple years later?
It really looks bad on paper when you consider that it came a year after the 2020 draft, where the top five quarterbacks selected are all now have the five highest-paid contracts in NFL history, right? Or will, once Tua and Jordan Love get their extensions. All five of those quarterbacks hit. Then the next year, is Trevor Lawrence a hit yet? he's been okay, but he hasn't been where you expected. And then every quarterback drafted after that 2021 has been bad. And then every quarterback drafted in 2022 after that has been bad, with the exception of the last one taken, which was Brock Purdy. So it's
wild.
Just incredible how bad it's been in the last couple of years.
And I'm amazed. It feels like they were all traded for, what, 6-round picks? It's like a slap in the face. That's what's weird for me. It really is. But we're going to find out. So let's go over these quarterbacks real quick. What do you like about Caleb Williams, and why do you think he's going to be the first pick to the Bears?
Caleb Williams is essentially what the NFL has been looking for to replicate in Patrick Mahomes, right? He is that big arm, makes the plays off script. He's accurate down the field. He has his vision down the field when moving is just incredible, right? The way he sees everything open up, he can move, he can run the ball, you know, if need be, and you know, pick up the big chunks. He's been asked, whatever he's asked to do, he's been able to do. Now, he has had some forcing the ball issues, you know, over the years, but I think so did Mahomes, right? I mean, if you go back and watch the Texas Tech tape, he was all over. And I didn't think Mahomes' skill set would translate to the NFL, then it did. So now when you see a guy like Caleb Williams, who has a very similar skill set, you have to now look, say, okay, that can translate, and it's very similar to Mahomes.
Is he smaller than people think?
He is, he measured at 6 foot 213, something like that. It's not, he doesn't have a huge frame, but hasn't been hurt either. So it's not something that I'm worried about at this moment. He doesn't have the size of, like, Drake May, I think, is probably a good size quarterback. Jaden Daniels has the height, but he's very, I wouldn't say frail, but he's thin as well amongst the others. J.J. McCarthy probably has the best build of the quarterbacks being considered. Well, Michael Penix actually has the best build of all the quarterbacks considered up at the top. But I'm not really concerned anymore. Or I think this was something that you worried about maybe 10 years ago. I don't think it's really something I'm worried about now.
All right. How big is Kyler Murray then with Arizona? Is he 5'9"? What is he? Like?
Yeah, he's all of 5'9", but he was like 200-plus pounds. So his size was okay. He's just short.
We're here with Brian Bosarge, Draft Countdown. All right, it's Caleb Williams. Look, I'm already ordering my jersey. I don't know if you know this. I'm ready. I'm just waiting for it. I'm going to get that 13. My fault for him, then we'll move on, is can you remember a rookie quarterback where you show up, you're the first pick, and then you have weapons now? I don't know if I've ever seen this before. How about you?
He's going into a good situation, especially – you know, you have with whatever they do with the ninth pick, right, to add to it. But you've got DJ Moore. You've got a great right tackle already, Darnell Wright, you drafted last year. You got a serviceable left tackle, but we could be replacing him with the ninth pick. We'll see. So, and you've got a good tight end that you just extended, and their defense is solid as well. So it's we're building the pieces. He could be ready to go. And man, what happens if he gets that team to the playoffs, right? Does he get a statue like after his rookie season or what?
I mean, that's why you look at what happened with the Texans. It's just so shocking where you went from worst team in football and then you're in the playoffs winning a playoff game. Like, what? That's why, I don't know, the C.J. Stroud, those expectations, can you put that on a rookie quarterback moving forward? I don't think it's fair to anyone else. How about you?
It doesn't matter. Those are the expectations now. Whether it's fair or not, it is what it is. We're long past the time where a quarterback's going to sit for 2 years behind Brett Favre and then get ready, right? We moved past that. Carson Palmer sitting behind John Kitna. We're not doing that anymore. You're going to play. And if you don't, we'll flush you out and draft somebody else in 2 years. That's the way it is now.
He also gets Keenan Allen. It's just mind-boggling. Like, what? What is this? All right, we'll go to 2 to Washington. You said Jaden Daniels. I feel like they need a spark for that friend. Like, if you take Drake May, it's like, didn't we just do this with Sam Howell? I feel like, and I've said this for a couple weeks, they have never gotten over RG3, like where he was the potential to be a superstar and he did it all and he was exciting. I think that's why it's Jaden Daniels at two. Why do you have Daniels at two?
I think schematically he's a better fit for their offense with Cliff Kingsbury. He's now the offensive coordinator there. I think he fits better than what Drake May would in that offense. Now, as I heard somebody say, the flip side, the downside to that is if Jaden Daniels comes in and has success with Cliff Kingsbury as the offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury's not going to be there very long. So,
no.
And that's the catch-22 of the situation. But I, for the record, I think Drake May is a better prospect than Sam Howell was. But I can see why fan sentiment for sure would be like that and why maybe the front office would. But there's a new front office there now, too. They brought in Adam Pearce from San Francisco. So, and Jaden Daniels has, what, 50, started 50-plus games as a quarterback between Arizona State and LSU. So, I mean, he's pretty much seen it all, right? So, he's not. There's not really a whole lot you're going to throw at him that's going to throw him off at all.
So, that's two. Who do you have the Patriots taking at three, then?
All right. Right now, I'm told I think they're going to trade out, and I know that they said they have to be wild, but I'm at the point now. That roster is one of the worst in the NFL, right, top to bottom. I think they need to acquire more picks. I think I can't see them drafting a quarterback. If they draft a quarterback at three, that's going to be the one that everybody's going to point to that to flop, right? Because you're putting him in a no-win situation. But if you trade down, maybe draft one of the other quarterbacks in the second round, like Bo Nix or Michael Penix, or maybe even third round Spencer Rattler, somewhere like that, and you know have them come in and compete with Jacoby Brissett, on this awful roster, you can turn back around, maybe get a better prospect in the 2025 class. I think they need more picks. So I've got the Giants coming up from 6-3 and drafting Drake May.
So you're the Patriots. You go down to six. Like you say, you probably get more picks. So if you are the Patriots, would you do this move?
I would, because at six, then I'm probably going to get Joe Alt to be my left tackle and start building that way. And I get more picks, add more skill position talent. Like I said, maybe take one of the other the next wave of quarterbacks after the perceived top four.
If the Patriots had the first or second pick, are they taking quarterback?
At that point, yes, but they also would probably get a better offer than what they may get to move down, like, say, three spots with the Giants.
If Washington, if they say we're taking Drake May, and if you're New England at three and you have Daniels on the board, do you just take Daniels at three then?
Daniels would be, I think, more of an option than I think Drake May at three would be. But also, like I said, I think they would get maybe a better offer from somebody like maybe Minnesota, maybe wants to come up from 11 and give more picks to go up.
We're going to find out. I agree with you. I think three is going to be very interesting with New England. You're absolutely right. We're here with Brian Bosarge, Draft Countdown. All right, at four... are you just locked in for the last couple of months? It's Marvin Harrison Jr. at Arizona.
I've turned this card in already. I don't know what Arizona's waiting on. But Monty Austin Fort, he's fun. He's a fun GM, I'll say that. And if he can make a trade and get a better offer, I just don't know. I don't know that I could give up Marvin Harrison Jr. if I was him.
If there were not a big quarterbacks at the top, like kind of like we had when Trayvon Walker went one to Jacksonville. Would it have been Marvin Harrison Jr. who had been the first pick in this draft?
It's very, very possible because he's one of the best players in this draft class, if not the best. He's one or two, no doubt about it.
All right, how do you rank? You got Harrison Jr., right? Who are the wide receivers behind him? How do you rank them?
I've got Neighbors behind him, but Odunze very, very close. I think the gap is closer from Odunze to Neighbors than it is Neighbors to Harrison Jr.
Will any of them stick around at nine to the Bears?
I think Odunze is the only one that could be on the board at nine.
Who do you have Atlanta taking in your draft? Because I think they're at eight.
Right now, I've got them taking Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle from Texas, but I've got like slash two other names out beside it that I'm toying with putting in, all defensive players. So I think, like I said, if unless they get an offer to move out of eight, I think they're going to be the first spot for a defensive player.
Do you have Tennessee? Do you have them just taking best player available at seven?
I think if Joe Alt's on the board, they run the card up, the offensive tackle from Notre Dame. If not, I think they look to trade out.
I agree with you. Do you have the Bears picking, or do you have them trading down at nine?
I think the Bears wouldn't love to trade down because they only have four draft picks, right? So I think they would love to trade down. If they stay put, and I have them staying put, I think they get another offensive weapon. Maybe not Odunze.
Right. It's going to be wild. And then who's at 10 then, Brian?
That would be the Jets. I think they could go with the wide receiver in Odunze or with a tight end, maybe Brock Bowers, or an offensive tackle.
See, this is what I want to ask you, and you texted me this, and we're here with Brian Bosart, Draft Countdown, getting ready for the draft on Thursday. Is Bowers kind of a wild card here? Especially, you know, we have Travis Kelce and we see George Kittle. Is he a wild card where someone might pick him higher than he should be?
I could see him going as high as five to the Los Angeles Chargers, all the way down to 18 with the Cincinnati Bengals. I think that is the absolute floor for Brock Bowers. And it's wild to think that a man could have, as talented as he is and as good as he is, could have that much variation. But it's hard to slot him in. I've right now in my rough draft, I've got him going to the Bears at nine because I think he's more than a tight end in their offense. Cole Kmet's going to be their true inline tight end. I think Bowers is a slot. He's an extra tight end. He's a H-back. I mean, he's a weapon for Caleb Williams. He's going to get open. He's run after the catch. It would just be so much fun to add him to that offense.
What do you like about him? Just overall what he did at Georgia?
It's every time he touches the ball, he's a threat. The run after catch ability is something is what you see with Travis Kelce, what you see with George Kittle. The ball in it, once he gets the ball in his hands, you know, is he going to run straight past you like Kyle Pitts would? Probably not. But he can go up. He makes contested catches. And like I said, he's a good blocker. It's just he's such an all around good talent. You know, he's normal size for tight end, 6'3", 241. We don't have any testing data on him. That's the only thing that holds you back from saying how truly great he would have scored out.
I like you put the window in 18 Bengals because you personally want that to happen, don't you?
I so want that to happen.
No way he's lasting that long. There's no way.
No way. No way. But my God, let him be on the board at 18.
Would you trade up? And I'm not saying in the top five. There's no way you're doing that. If you're the Bengals at 18 and he's available at 14, would you go up to get him at 14?
Me personally? I would go up to like 12 and get him from 18 if I had to, somewhere along that. But the Bengals have traded up once since 1990, and that was to draft Kajana Carter in 1995.
No.
That's the last time they traded up in the first round.
I can't give up multiple picks. You can't give up multiple big picks for a tight end, can you? No.
They have 10 picks.
Oh, then you're fine.
Are they going to use all 10 of those?
No, they're not. All right, you win. You win this round. Go for it, buddy. You're all in. Before I let you go, I want to do team needs. Let's start with the Miami Dolphins. Make the playoffs. It's like they're close, but they still need help. What are your team needs for the Dolphins going through this draft?
Looking in the first round, I think that's probably more what we're looking at here. I think they might be the first one to go after an interior offensive lineman, like, say, a Troy Fautanu from Washington, who played left tackle there, but a lot of teams project him at guard. Graham Barton, who also played tackle at Duke, but most people predict him at center guard. I think that's the spot where the Dolphins probably look to go, maybe an interior defensive lineman to help replace Christian Wilkins if one was to fall to them.
Who do you have in the draft for them? Who's your pick?
Troy Fontanu from Washington.
You're going with that? All right. Just, I have to double check to make sure we're on the same page. Honestly, I watch every Dolphins game. They need Brock Bowers. They need a big target over the middle. They're so speed and rhythm with all their fast wide receivers. I think Tua needs a big time blanket in that offense. Someone that can help him out like Kelce does for Mahomes. That's how I look at the Dolphins for this draft.
Yeah, I mean, that would, he would be ideal, but I mean, they would definitely would have to trade up, right?
Yes.
So,
yeah, we'll see. Let's go to the Buccaneers then. They make the playoffs 4 years in a row. Hell, they should have beaten the Lions in the division round. It's ridiculous when I look at that game now. They bring back, you know, they got Mike Evans coming back, and they got Baker Mayfield. How do you look at their team needs for this draft?
I feel like they probably almost definitely have to address a corner very early, right? I mean, you're looking at Zion McCollum and Jamel Dean are slated to be the starting cornerbacks for the Bucs. I can't see that really being an ideal situation to start with. Maybe they add a pass rusher. Like I said, it depends on what's on the board. I think trading out, you know, to a team, maybe we get that fifth quarterback in the first round and a team wants to come up from the top part of the second round. Tampa Bay's in a good spot there to move back, pick up an extra pick or so. But I actually have them trading out in the first round in my rough draft, final mock draft. I actually have them trading down with New England. So it's that could be a spot. But corner or edge rusher would probably be where they would go if they stay put.
Is that the worst feeling when you're waiting for your team to draft and you're in the 20s, and then you stay up, and you finally get to the pick, and then they trade out? Is that the worst of all of them?
Especially if you're only watching the first round. Like, if you're not a diehard or somebody who's doing like me who's going to live stream all 3 days, you know, it's not
the worst.
It's
the worst. Jaguars. All right. Just they fell apart in the second half. Texans win the division. What are the team needs for Jacksonville going into Thursday?
I feel like they're consistently trying to replace Cam Robinson at offensive tackle. I feel like we've gone through this for years. Wide receiver, they signed Gabe Davis. They've got Christian Kirk. I don't know if that's where they go. Another pass rusher maybe, but I don't know either. I've got them drafting an offensive tackle. Actually, I'm sorry. I had them trading completely out of the first round from the 17th pick. So now that I see that, because I couldn't figure out where to go with them. So I'm like, let's just have them bail out all the way out of the first round from midway through.
If you bail out from 17, what draft capital would you get for that? Because it has to be big, right?
I would imagine that you're going to get a one next year if you're bailing all the way out of the first round.
You got to give me, okay, I want the first, your future first, and what would you say? Give me a third round pick this year? Would that be fair in that or more?
In this trade I had, because the points lined up, I had them trading out of the first round with Washington at the top of the second, getting pick 36, getting pick 78, which is in the third round, and then getting a 2025 second round pick.
You've done your research. I like it. Let's end with this. I'm ready for Thursday. I'm hosting my draft party. I can't wait. Can you come on Friday? Can we recap round one? Can we do that?
We can do that. Absolutely, Mark. You just let me know what time and I'll be there.
We do this game, Brian. So what you do is we're going to be at this place called Walk On Sports Bistro. And this is my fifth year doing my draft party. So what you got to do is the top 10 picks in round one, just tell me who's going to get picked where. So you got to write down, I have Caleb Williams going one. And then, I have Drake May 3, right? So just do the top 10. The average, someone like the winner, the average is 4 or maybe 5 picks right. Isn't that crazy? It's nuts.
It's the best I've ever done is I've got the first 6 in a row and hit none after that.
I know. It's one of those things you forget. These teams are crazy and their GMs have egos. And it's like, it's just chaos after a while. And I think, honestly, I know we're going long here, but I think my favorite, just the craziest moment ever, this was 20 years ago when Minnesota didn't put their pick up and then they did it 2 years in a row. I don't think anything will ever match that, ever. Just the chaos of that happening.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's fun stuff. I saw that again the other day.
Oh, it's the best. Brian Bosar, Draft Countdown. My man, thank you so much for your help. Enjoy Thursday, and I'll talk to you again Friday, all right?
Sounds good, Mark. Appreciate it.